And he's no stranger to none of us. He's my spiritual father, amen, and senior pastor here in Victoria Church, Milwaukee. So let's give our pastor a hand of praise as he welcomes up here this morning.
Amen. Amen. Real grateful. Thank everybody for thinking of me and everything you did for this morning's Father's Day presentation. And to think where there was a time when nobody was looking my way, but only the Father. I had messed up family, every relationship, but God's grace and mercy entered my life, transformed my life, and I'm able to look back in time to see what a mighty God he is. And all in all, if he was able to do it for me, he can do it for anybody here that's present this day, anybody viewing through Facebook that's viewing from Milwaukee or from whatever state you may be viewing from. I am very grateful and blessed, man of God, knowing that God backs up his word. Sometimes his promises are so great, it's hard to believe them. Even though the promises are from the promise maker, promise keeper, the Lord himself, so blessed all the way around. I almost feel like changing the message right now, but I'm just really, really blessed in reflecting back in my 23 years of salvation and how the Lord has blessed my life, marriage, children, the church. Amen. And I'm just full of hope right now and faith, and I'm ready to preach the gospel. Amen. And I want to celebrate the fathers before we start here this day. I want to celebrate you, whether you're on the mountaintop or somewhere in the valley, somewhere in the backside of the desert, and things just ain't working out the way you would want them to be working out in your life. That was me at one time. Nothing was working. But today, everything I put my hand to is blessed now because of my Heavenly Father. Amen. So I just want to thank the leadership, the congregation. Amen. My beautiful wife and children. And I, by faith, want to thank the lost and bound that are still out there that are going to be coming in and being a part of God's mighty, mighty working hand. Amen. So as we get into the message here this morning, there's going to be a lot of preaching going on. Amen. Got a lot of word to give here this day to the fathers, but if you listen closely, it's also for the mothers, the single fathers, single mothers, the young adults here. No matter where you find yourself here on this beautiful Sunday morning, I believe this message is for you. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Two Fathers. Two Fathers. For those that are here, I see some new people here. We welcome you. Be blessed here this day. Two fathers. I want to speak about two fathers this morning. One being the father of lies, which is Satan himself, the enemy. And the other father I want to speak about and highlight is the father of truth. Two fathers. And we need to choose here this day on what father we're going to pick. There's one that the Bible records as the father of all lies. And the other father is the father of all truth. They're both wanting to lead your life, and they're both wanting to be number one in your life. I have here in my notes, as fathers here this morning, living in end times, it's very important in who we are receiving counsel from. Because one counsel is a counsel of lies, and the other counsel is the counsel of truth. And if we're going to lead our families correctly, fathers, we're going to have to come under the counsel of truth. The Father of all truth, which is here this morning, there in your living room, is present there with you right now. And he's wanting to let us all know that he's with us, even if you can't feel him, even if you can't see him. And within your current situation, it's hard to believe what he has for your life. I've been there. But I want to let you know as well here this day that he's a miracle working God. And that we have a congregation full of miracles that God has individually touched your life. And too many times we're looking for miracles of the blind seeing or the crippled being healed. But I want you to look around here this morning. You're nothing short of a miracle. You being here this morning, viewing on Facebook this morning, is a miracle. Miracles upon miracles upon miracles. When you thought God was nowhere around to help you, to come to your need, he was always there. He was always there. And I want to preach here this day, like I said, and highlight the Father of truth. In this end time world that we're living in, filled of lies, deceiving lives that at times come in so clear that we can mistake and be deceived for the truth. In John chapter 8, verse 44, I'm really want to focus on the latter part of this verse, but I got to read the beginning part of it, amen? It says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." As we pray here this morning, Father, we thank you, we love you, give you all the glory and all the honor. We lift up your name on high this day, Father. We thank you for all you've done, for all that you're currently doing, and all that you're going to do in each and every one of our lives as sons and daughters that belong to you. What you're going to do in the church, in our region, internationally, around the world, through our ministry. This day, our hearts are filled with hope and faith, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you have your way this day, touching every man's heart, along with every woman and every young adult. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Two fathers I want to speak about here this morning. And you're under either one of them. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, the Lord gave me this morning. Then I'm going to recap. We've been having real powerful Wednesday night prayer and where the Lord's been speaking. Amen. And if the Lord is speaking, he's listening. Amen. As we read, it says, "All the joys of those who do not." Okay, we're going to see what takes place when you're under the father of lies. Amen. "All the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. Here we find out in verse 1 that all the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. In other words, the advice is, in other words, the counsel of the wicked. The counsel of the wicked. It goes on to say that's plural, the wicked. It goes on, or who stand around with sinners, plural, once again. Or join in with mockers, once again, plural. Point the counsel of the wicked, which is the father of all lies, will always come with many voices. Will always come with many voices. But in verse 2, when we come under the counsel of our Heavenly Father of truth, this is what takes place. It says, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. The counsel of the Lord is singular. It's one voice. How many have been lost and bound and remember how we would try to figure out the world outside of Christ? And as time passed on by, it just got worse and worse and worse, where our lives became very so unmanageable and tangled by the many voices of the enemy, the many lies of the enemy as they entered our lives. In verse 3, it shows the outcome of following the Lord, the outcome of following the Lord. And even though I've already said that it's sometimes hard to believe what God wants to do in your life and through your life, because I remember back 23 years as if it was this morning, and what the Lord has done in my life and currently doing in my life. And I understand that it's hard to believe that the Lord can get you out of your situation that you're currently in right now, or He can fix something that's broke within your life right now, or ever use you. I understand how it is hard to believe that when we've been under years and years under the lies, the father of all lies, the enemy. In verse 3 shows the outcome of following the Lord. And the Bible reads, they are like trees planted along the riverbank. This is what takes place. Bearing fruit each season. That's 1. 2, their leaves never wither. And 3, and they prosper in all they do. That just sounds kind of hard to believe that we can prosper when we're under the Father of truth in all that we do. And I know it sounds kind of like a stretched truth, but it's not. It's not. Bearing fruit each season means to me always growing. Their leaves that never wither means that there's never a spiritual winter in your life. Because here around in Wisconsin, when the winter kicks in, all trees lose their leaves except the evergreens, the pine trees in our beautiful property that we have, amen, thousands and thousands of many types of trees. They go through their seasons and colors of fall, and before you know it, they all start falling off the tree, leaving the tree bare as if it's dead. But we also have about 8 or 10 pine trees on the property. They're evergreens, and those stay green throughout the year, even if it gets 40, 50 below zero, as it did a few years back ago. Amen? The pine trees stay green. They're called evergreens. There's no circumstance that can take those pine needles off the evergreen pine tree. They prosper in all they do. When we follow the counsel of the Lord, even when we make mistakes, remember, I know it sounds a little far-fetched to believe that we come under the Father of truth and that we're going to prosper in all that we do every day, that we're going to prosper and we're just going to get it right. But the breakdown the Lord gave to me within this, they prosper in all they do. Amen. It don't mean that we're not going to make mistakes. Little mistakes, big mistakes. But to me, they prosper in all they do represent that he's able to use our mistakes, whether small or great, to prosper us, to do a work in our lives that he wouldn't be able to do on us just having good days all the time. So the reason God's word says that we will prosper in all that we do is that he's going to use the hard times, the bad times, the mistakes, most of all, to prosper us. And that's why the Lord can claim about the lives of his children, those that follow his counsel, that we can prosper in all that we do, in all that we do. In Psalm 61, verses 1 to 3, the Bible reads, O God, listen to my cry, hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth I cry to you for help. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the towering rock of safety. For you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. When we have a Father of truth that we can come to in the good times and the bad times, he's able to place us upon a towering rock. He's able to place us in a safe refuge. He's able to place us with a fortress around us where our enemies cannot reach us in the time of prayer, in the time where we have made a mistake. I put here in my notes, there's times in our prayer time that we can feel the enemy has reached us, has trapped us, caught up with us. I shared Wednesday, it's simply a feeling. It's simply a feeling. How many have ever prayed feeling you're not getting a breakthrough, feeling the Lord is not listening, feeling that your situation ain't changing no matter how hard you're praying, no matter how good you're making all the right moves? There's a feeling within you from the father of lies that said, nothing's changing, nothing will ever change. Your heavenly Father of truth is not listening. He has not forgotten your mistake. It's just another lie from the father of lies. Our Father of truth says otherwise. His word tells us that he, in the time of prayer, that he can place us on the towering rock of safety, on a safe refuge, and he can become our fortress. That he places us in a high place in our time of prayer. Even though we might be on this earth, in the time of prayer when we cry and we go to our Heavenly Father of truth, he places us in a high place where the enemies, our enemies, cannot reach us. That is the truth from the Father of all truth here this day for your life. A lot of times we base our prayers, base our walks with the Lord according to how we feel, how we feel they feel about us. When the enemy is so crafty in using feelings and conveying to you that the feelings you're feeling are the truth, that there is no way out and there's nowhere for you to go. But that's the lie from the Father of all lies here this day on Father's Day. So I challenge the fathers here this day, whatever your circumstance may be here this Sunday morning, that you would cry out to the Lord of all truth, and that he would carry you to a secret place that the enemy's not able to reach you. Don't base your walk with the Lord according to your feelings. In Psalms chapter 1, verse 4, as I get back to the opening scriptures, this is the outcome of being under the Father of lies, and that's why our lives weren't going anywhere before Christ entered our lives. The outcome of being under the Father of all lies is, but not the wicked, they are like worthless chaff. I don't know about you. I can say this about myself. You may not want to claim it about yourself. But when I was lost and bound, I was worthless. I wasn't good to anybody. At the real end of my bondage with heroin addiction, I wasn't even any good no more for Satan. I was messed up. I speak for my own life. I was worthless. Wasn't good for anything, even in the natural, more or less in the supernatural. Those were the benefits that the Father of Lies had to offer my life for the many, many, many years I devoted and gave him my all, my life, even death, over and over and over. So I stand here this day before you under the Father of all truth. Don't think that the enemy don't lie to me. I think I could put all you all together and still say that he still lies to me more than all of you guys put together. He's a good liar. He's the father of all lies. But the father of all truth, his power and word and promises are not only greater, but they're true and they're able to come to pass within your life, wherever you may be here on this Sunday morning. I still wish the fathers and celebrate the fathers with Happy Father's Day, knowing who our Heavenly Father is. What type of people are you surrounding yourself with? Determines the outcome of your life and family. It's real important who we surround ourselves with, because they're going to be giving counsel and advice. And some of them are really trying to help you, but they're under the Father of lies. How many have ever believed something about somebody else that wasn't true? How many have ever believed something about your own life that wasn't true? It happens. And if you're truthful here this morning, it happens on a daily basis. And how we view others, and how at times we even view ourselves. In Genesis chapter 2, so there was a comparison there with the opening scriptures and what counsel we come under, to be blessed or to be worthless. I've known a lot of people that are not under the counsel of the Father of Truth and own a lot of things. But when it comes to pertaining to the things of God, they're worthless. They wouldn't know where to start in being a servant of the Lord. That's why I love our ministry. We are servants of the Lord, internationally, worldwide. There's a bunch of X, this, and that. That under the Father of all truth now, that are making a difference all around the world here this day. In Genesis chapter 2, 15 through 17, another Wednesday night revelation that the Lord gave, the Bible reads, "The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, 'You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die.'" Here, God showed Adam all the trees in the garden that he was free to eat from. Amen? I shared Wednesday that I believe he was showing Aaron, he was showing him all that was taking place in the garden, all the many trees full of fruit. And he was showing Adam, first of all, he was showing him all the fruits, the blessings that he had placed in the garden for him to tend, to take care of, and to watch over. But within showing him all the trees in the garden, he also showed him the tree that was in the middle of the garden. He also showed him the tree that was in the middle of the garden. And in pertaining to this tree, he also gave counsel and instruction, just as he did to all the trees, that he was free to eat from all of them, was the instruction. But to the tree in the middle of the garden, he gave counsel to the life of Adam and told him, "Do not eat off the fruit of that tree." Amen. So he showed him the garden, and he gave counsel, instructions in regards to the tree in the middle of the garden. In chapter 3, we pick up, Satan does the same thing. Satan enters the garden, the same garden that God had just shown to Adam, all the trees and the tree in the middle of the garden, and then slithers in the serpent, Satan, and he chooses Eve to speak to, the woman that he placed in the garden. And this is what the Bible records. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman. He was in communication with her, amen? Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of these trees in the garden? So here, Satan now is showing Eve the garden as God showed to Adam. And he said, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of these trees in the garden? Here Satan showed Eve the same picture that God did. The same very picture, same very trees. And in verse 2, the Bible records, this is her responding, amen? Eve responds, of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. So here we have the Heavenly Father of truth, two fathers. We also have the father of lies, Satan himself, using the same picture, the same people, but the counsel that was given was different. Because the counsel of the enemy will always be lies. The Bible records that he is consistent in being a liar. It's his character. God showed him the garden along with the counsel in regards to the garden. But he also, Satan also showed the same garden to Eve. But his counsel was, did God really say? To have Eve question what God had already said to Adam. How many have ever questioned the Lord, the Father of all truth? How many have at times questioned, are you even with me? Do you even know what I'm going through? That's the work of the enemy right there. Because truth says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I put in my notes, there was nothing wrong with the tree in the middle of the garden. It looked good. The fruit looked good. There was nothing wrong with the tree in the middle of the garden. It was bearing fruit, just like all the other trees were. Matter of fact, God even created that tree in the middle of the garden. Just as he created Lucifer, the worshiper there in heaven before he became Satan, he created Lucifer also. And when he created Lucifer, it was a good thing. And I believe that that tree in the middle of the garden, that there was nothing wrong with that tree. There was nothing wrong with it. It showed that it bore fruit. He said not to eat it. It had fruit. Had fruit just like all the other trees did. I believe that there was nothing wrong with the tree in the middle of the garden. What was different and what we must accept this day was the counsel that was given by God. If you eat it, in other words, if you partake of it, God was just saying to not eat of that tree in the middle of the garden. Now, it would have been one thing to say you can only eat from that one tree in the garden, but you can't eat from all the other trees that are in the garden. I could see that being a tough one. What's important is that sometimes God gives us instruction, counsel, that we must follow. That we must follow as fathers if we're going to make a difference within our family, within the church, within the lives of the lost and the bound. We're going to have to follow the counsel of the Father of all truth. I put here as fathers, sons, daughters of the Father of truth, there's just some things that we as Christians are no longer able to partake of. There's just some things that you and I are no longer able to partake of if we want to be under the Father of truth and we want to prosper in all that we do and be blessed of the Lord and be a model, be an example of what Christ is able to do in one's life that follows his counsel, his word of truth. And I believe this is where the enemy comes in a lot of the times within our life. We would rather listen to the counsel of the enemy because that allows us to do what we want to do. God was simply telling Adam of the tree in the middle of the garden to not eat of it, to not partake of it. That's it. But why, God? It doesn't have to be questioned. There's just some things that the Lord will instruct your life and my life that at times when they're given, because his ways and thoughts are higher than ours, that it just don't make sense. And because it don't make sense and we don't feel it, we don't do it. And we continue to partake of things that God's trying to remove from our lives. Getting ready to close. In our walk and growth in the Lord, he will always put a new tree in the middle of the garden. A new tree right in the middle of your life. That's if we continue to walk and grow in the Lord. He will always put a new tree within your life for you not to partake of. In the beginning of my life, there was a tree called cigarettes. A year into church in my salvation, I was still smoking. And because I had stopped all the drugs and I was passing all my test there with the parole officer, I was clean. My counsel, my thinking, under the Father of all lies, said, hey, cigarettes are legal. This is the only thing I'm doing now. Come on. So my way of reasoning said it was all good to smoke. But one day, tell your neighbor, but one day, God entered my life and he pointed out that tree of cigarettes within my life. And he told me that you will no longer partake of smoking cigarettes. And when he said it, the timing was right. And because the timing was right, and I now had a year of growth in the church, I was able to follow his counsel, even though it meant going cold turkey from smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day. That it just poof, go away. No! I went crazy for about 8 months. I never cheated once. 8 months later, I still thought I was a full-blown cigarette smoker. And I had not touched a cigarette. And before you know it, as I had victory within this area, the Lord would form. Because I was walking with him. I was being obedient. I was growing. He would show me another tree in the middle of the garden that he wanted to bless within my life. The opposite sex, that was a big one. I never prayed for a wife. I never prayed for children. My prayer was, Lord, take the drugs from me. My life was so messed up, I just felt I was not worthy to have a wife or children. I wasn't asking for that. My prayer at the altar is, Lord, take these drugs away. I know I'm a good person. Take these drugs away. I'm not strong enough. And he took that tree out of my life that I tried a lifetime to remove from my life. He did it. He answered that prayer overnight. The cigarette one would take a year. The women thing took years. I'm a pastor that keeps it real. All those pastors says they don't have that temptation. You lie. Or you've gone blind, physically blind. It's something that every man is confronted with on a daily basis, whether you're single or married, have no children, have a lot of children. Every man, raise your hand right now. Yeah, come on. Paulino didn't know his wife sitting right next to him, and he went. He like slithered one out to the right field there. Oh, you women think you're all that and then some too. Women, raise your hands right now. My wife's raising her hand. But then he took that tree out that I never even prayed for him to take the opposite sex out of my life. That was like a dumb prayer. I never prayed that prayer because I really, with all my being, with everything, thought that there was no way it could be done. That's why I didn't pray it. That tree was just going to be there and stay there till the coming of the Lord. But he took that tree out. What tree could the Lord be trying to get you to start partaking of within the garden of your life right now that he wants to bless? What could it be that the Lord is asking you to surrender right now that you know is wrong? It don't belong in the garden. It don't belong in the things of Christianity. The Lord still keeps pulling trees out of my life 23 years later. Like a musician pulls rabbits out of a hat, it just keeps pulling them out. Because there's still things within my life now that I'm not even aware of. That by coming to the Father of all truth on a daily basis, he reveals them to me. And he shows them to me like he showed Adam all the trees in the garden and the tree in the middle of the garden. And there's things that on a daily basis where Satan comes into your mind and starts showing you what you're still doing while trying to be a Christian. Two fathers at work right now. One the father of all truth, and the other one the father of all lies. Which one are you going to listen to? I know it's easier to listen to the father of all lies because you already know what to do, what he's asking. But if you want to be a blessed man of God, a blessed woman of God, a blessed young adult, and if you want to grow and you want your life to go forward and mean something, not only to your life, but to others, we're going to have to come under the counsel of the Father of all truth. What is it What tree is pending right now within your life that the Lord is saying to put an end to no longer partake of? I don't think there was even nothing wrong looking at the tree in the middle of the garden. I don't think there was even nothing wrong touching the tree in the garden. The instruction was, don't eat it. Don't partake of it. Don't partake of it. But if you look long enough and you touch long enough, you're going to be partaking of it. Do you want your life to count? Fathers, do you want your life to count according to the Counselor of Counselors, the Father of all truth? He's in the business of choosing the worst of the worst. He's looking into your life right now. Within one's life, Pastor Felipe, it might be this tree. Brother Jason, it might be this tree. And my wife, Marlene, it might be this tree. What is it? The tree that the Lord is trying to remove, getting you to a place to surrender it, for that he can grow another tree in your garden to bear fruit that you can't partake of. The fellowship and experiencing the power and the presence of God. In this church, the truth is going to be preached. In this church, you will be challenged. In this church, if you allow the truth in your life and apply it, the Bible says that it sets the captive free, free indeed. The choice is yours. Do you want to be captive by the enemy the rest of your life in church? Or do you want to be set free by God Almighty to be able to fulfill the call upon your life on a good day, to fulfill the call of God upon your life on a bad day? Because we have a good Father that we can cry out to and pray to, and he'll take us to that high place out of the reach of our enemies. Church, we're living in end times right now. The school's getting all fixed up. It's getting closer and closer, where the business is going to open up to bring plenty of finances to this church, to this city, to this region, internationally. Because I want to be a mega, mega blessing of God. Not just for my life, my marriage, my church, but a mega blessing to the church, a mega blessing to the lost and the bound. I want to be a man that God uses to bless others in abundance, to bless others where they would be able to see God, feel God, and know that he is with them even in the hard times. We want a church that prospers, not only financially, but a church that prospers in spending time with Jesus, that prospers in reading and being alone with the Lord in that high place, whether you're having a good day or a bad day. I'm convinced that you can do it. Father, single father, I'm convinced that you can get your breakthrough. But you're going to have to apply the counsel of the Lord. That tree, whatever tree it may be, needs to be done with. Too many times what hinders God in wanting to do what he wants to do in your life is that we continue to partake in things that what the first year of ours that we got away with that we can't get away with now, because he's doing a new thing, something fresh, something new. I don't know about you, but God has done a lot in my life. But I still have an inner feeling, a witness within my heart that he still wants to do so much more in and through my life. 23 years later, I'm convinced of it. And as convinced as I am of that truth, it's a truth. I'm not bragging. It's a truth. It's a God truth. This truth is also for you and you and you and you and you all viewing here this day via Facebook. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed here this day? Because each and every one of us have a tree in the middle of our garden that the Lord's saying, it's time to stop partaking of that tree. I got something better that's before you. And I can't take you any further until you deal in stopping in the partaking of that tree within your life. That is the word here this day. To the fathers, the mothers, the young adults, our church. We're not playing church right now, people. Amen? We're not playing church. This is the real deal because we serve the real deal Father of all truth right now. When I counsel people, it's one thing for the enemy to be the father of all lies, but it's another thing for him to say the truth about what you've been doing. I says, don't give him the privilege of having to tell him the truth. He's the father of all lies. He's not the father of truth. But a lot of times, because we don't deal with the tree in the middle of the garden of our life, he will get into our mind, our conscience, and speak into us. He will counsel us. And the crazy part is, if we allow him to counsel long enough, we'll believe him. Even though it ends with destruction. The word of the Lord says that we will prosper in all that we do. Even when we mess up and make mistakes, God is also able to use that mistake to prosper you. But he's got to be your heavenly Father. We started with two fathers, the title of the message, but now it's down to one Father. I don't even want to make a decision as the worship team comes up, please. We need to take our walk with the Lord seriously, church. Seriously. What does that tree in the middle of your garden represent here this day? Is it a he or a she, a it or a thing? Whatever it is, if the Lord is showing you right now that tree in the middle of the garden of your life, he's here to empower you here this day for you to make that move and no longer partaking of whatever that tree is in the middle of your garden as you start to sing the song, love. Once again, I want to celebrate the fathers here this day. As we stand here on this beautiful day.
And I just want to make you glad. And I just want to move your heart, God, to give you all I am. And I just want to bless your name.
How many want to bless the Lord? Amen.
And I just want to make you glad.
I'm going to open up the altars, not just for the fathers, but the mothers as well, the young adults, because it pertains to all of us here this day. The altars are open. Let's make it count here this day, people. To bring to the altar whatever that tree is that the Lord wants to empower you to no longer partake of. We all have one.
We all have one. Give it to him right now by faith. Give it to him right now by faith. Whatever the tree is in the middle of your garden, there's an open window of opportunity right now. Because I believe the Lord wants to empower you right now. As you give it to him by faith, from your heart, whatever it is. It was important at one time, but now it's a hindrance. It meant a lot to you at one time, but now it's preventing you from going any further. What is it? Just give it to the Lord right there where you're at. Just give it to the Lord. Those viewing through Facebook, the Lord wants to take you to another level. He wants the evidence that he abides in your life to be greater and greater and greater for those that are lost and bound, that are blinded by the Father of all lies, to be able to see Christ within your life. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, more of you and less of us, Lord. As we decrease here this day, Lord, increase, Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Take us out of the reach of the enemies that we face, Lord. And take us to that safe place, that refuge, that fortress. Oh, in the name of Jesus. And do your work. Do that miracle right now in his life, her life, here at the altar, in his life, her life, viewing through Facebook right now, Lord, as they surrender that tree that you're allowing them to see right now, to no longer partake of. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, in the name of Jesus. He's able. He's able to do all things. Don't question what the Lord is able to do or not do, because he's able to do all things. Every tree being surrendered to him right now, whatever the tree may be about, he's removing them right now. One of them, one at a time, one, all of them, he's removing them. You got to believe that he's removing it right now. I had to believe when I was at the altar of Victory Outreach, Salinas, California. I had to believe because my mentality was all messed up. I had to believe in my heart, because of what the presence of the Holy Spirit was saying to me, was moving within my life, the presence of God would allow me to step out by faith and tell the Lord, I don't want this in my life no more. I don't want this in my life no more. It don't fit no more. It don't fit no more. I don't want this no more, Lord. I know now today in your presence that it don't please you. And you've been a good father, a father that always says the truth. You got to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And the Bible records that he will fill you of his spirit. He'll fill you. But I believe there's a man, a woman, a young adult right now making a decision right now to walk forward in the things of God. and for your life to make a great difference. In these end times that we're living in, that so many are being deceived, even the wealthy, the most educated, it's not just those in the hood. Father, we love you. Happy Father's Day. Father, we love you. Because your word is true. And not only true, you're able to do and honor and back up your word, Lord. You've done it in my life, Lord, for 23 years. You're still doing it right now as I speak. And I pray that what you did for me, Lord, that you would do for every man, woman, and young adult here present this day and viewing through Facebook this day, that this day would be a landmark where we would be able to reflect back upon and saying, remember that Father's Day message when Pastor talked about that tree? It's no longer within my life. I've gotten past it. Touch us here this day, Lord, Father God, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Holy Spirit. For you are the same God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. Pour out your Spirit right now, Father. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Love, love, embrace your sons, embrace your daughters right now, Lord. And allow them to know that you love them, that you love them, that you love them, and that is the truth. That you love them with an agape love, an unconditional love. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Continue to do the miracles right now, Lord. You're still doing the miracles right now, Lord. All across the board, you're doing miracles right now, Lord. Just like you did for me 23 years ago, coming fresh out of prison the day before. You're doing miracles. I thank you right now for the miracles you're doing, Lord. I thank you for the men, the women, the young adults that are stepping out right now without even taking a step. Just from their hearts, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for challenging that man, that woman, that young adult here this day, Lord. Because you want to use their lives, Lord. You want the proof to grow greater and greater within this church that you're able to set any walk of life free. Any man, any woman, any young adult free, Lord. There's nothing that we have done that's so great that you cannot remove or heal us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Continue to touch those viewing through Facebook right now, Lord. It's their moment. It's their day. The window's open right now, Lord. Touch them. Holy Spirit, we give you the time. We give you the time right now required in doing what you're doing right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Empower all of us here this day so we may be able to leave your temple, Lord, and fulfill what we have spoken to you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this day. You may go back to your seats here this day. I just want to once again thank you for all y'all did, the envelope and everything and the presentation. Everything was beautiful. I truly, totally, totally appreciate it. Amen. I love you guys. I love you guys along with my wife. And we're not going nowhere. If we're going somewhere, it's forward. Amen. And we're going to fill this church up, amen, because there's a lot of lives out there that need the Father of all truth, amen. Consider yourself dismissed on this beautiful day. If anybody needs to speak to my wife or myself, we're here for you. Love you guys. God bless you. And go in the presence of the Lord.